Our scripture reading this morning is going to be given by our speaker, and our speaker is not Bill. Our speaker this morning is Frank Arianis, and he's brought three-fifths of his family, right? Yeah, three-fifths of his family with him. And so I'm going to let Frank, you share with us. Give us a little brief, I don't know if you're prepared, I bet you are, a bio, an update of where your family, all of you guys are, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in the blanks, and then a message. All right, Frank.
Hello, church. We're coming up from almost 6 months here in the States. We're on our furlough. Missionaries do that every 4 years. They give us some time off, 6 months to a year. And can you imagine, we're 24/7 when it comes to the mission field. So we can get calls in the middle of the night to do something for helping somebody or early in the morning. That's what missionaries do. So there's a time we need to relax. And what they often say, we need to get our batteries charged again. Because we're always giving. You know, we're either preparing a sermon or a study or helping somebody, and it's very rarely that we sit and just receive. So here we are, here I am giving again. But that's okay, because we've been, every week we have various studies and the stuff going on where we just take it in because we need to get recharged. So thank you for your prayers. I wanted to show a brief video. Tells you what we've been up to. We have all our daughters are, well, they're spread out. We have one here coming from Liberty. We have another one in Spokane. And then we have another one in New Zealand with YWAM. She's studying to go, she's going to go to Indonesia in a few weeks here. So they're spread out. And all we have is the Kendra, oldest, with us. And so we're almost all together. And my father-in-law and her mom and dad are in Mexico at our house, their house, and they're going to come up for Christmas, so we'll be somewhat together at Christmas time. We are church planners 90% of the time, if not a little bit more, which also carries into Radical, which is the last pictures of a youth camp. We do that once a year right now, a week a year, but it's also church planning because we're training these people come to know the Lord, these young people, and we want to get them involved in their church and continue with their walk and their new faith. So I like to talk a little bit about discipleship. And so open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, as in chapter 2, where Bill almost was mentioning the exact verse I was going to use. That's okay. And it's 2 Timothy 2:2. So for the last 20 years, we've been in Mexico, in Puerto Vallarta, where we're at. We've been there for 15 years. And church planting started in our community. It starts with getting to know your neighbors. And I hope you see a practical side of this for yourself, because everybody has neighbors. We have friends, we have family, so think of this as, who's my Timothy? Who's your Timothy? Who are you going to be telling about Jesus? So as we get to know our neighbors, we think, okay, what could we do so that our neighbors know Jesus? They're our neighbors, they live next door. Well, first of all, we have to have a good example of who Jesus is, because sometimes it can be pretty bad. So, but we invite kids over, like kids or parents or family over. You guys want to have lunch with us? You're our new neighbors. Or we take something to them at Christmas time, especially. We'll take them cookies, or if we're brave enough, we'll sing Christmas carols. So we're trying to get to know people. As we get to know people, they know us. We share our faith. They see we're not that bad of a person. We're hopefully living the life as Christ lived here on earth. And we start, maybe they'll open up to a Bible study. We'll just start talking about their faith and their walk. And next thing, as time goes by, that's how you church plant. If these people want to study the Word of God, praise God. If they want to go to church, that's even better. I mean, just it goes on and on. Next thing you know, our house was built to have a lot of people in the church or in the house and for the church, but we grew out of it, and that's a good thing. So that's church plant. You start off just near yourself, like Jerusalem, right? Then you go to Samaria, and then you go to the uttermost extensions of the world, right? You go everywhere. But so we're in Mexico. You guys are here. Okay, you have a mission here. Don't forget that. So the radical camp, like I was saying, is another way of doing outreach. So 2 Timothy 2:2, faithful men is what we're looking for. So we church plant. Who are these people that are faithful who will be the next generation? As you can, you were mentioning about Paul and passing the baton, the race. He's passing on to others what he was taught through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. So men and women, we'll look for men and women. Who's the next generation? Who's the next faithful ones? I want to put on there on the screen, but most of your Bibles in the back, they have maps of Paul's journey. And I briefly want to talk about what was Paul's journey about. Why did he leave Antioch on his journey? A little bit of background, we can look at this as a discipleship, because Saul, who was Paul, had this encounter with Jesus Christ on the road on Damascus Road, right? Face to face, changed his life. So Paul is now saying, now where am I going to go? He's commissioned. He's told what he's going to do, and he's going out. So this letter also is a personal letter to Timothy. Paul right now is in prison. He's in Rome in the year 66, but it's a personal. Timothy, this is years after he met Timothy, but he is a personal letter. It's just like saying, Timothy, a lot has gone by. I've trained you, and he has this personal relationship with his Timothy. As we sometimes do with somebody in our life, we say, this person right here, I've been spending so many years with him. He's my Timothy. He's the person that is going to be the next one to pass it on. So these letters, Timothy and Titus, are pastoral letters. They're written to help these guys see what the function of leadership is in the church, how to minister. It's pastoral letters for training these men. So I want to look at briefly at a story of Timothy. As we look on his journey, we'll start with the green line. Paul is now, by the Holy Spirit, he's commissioned to take a couple of people with him. Well, he takes with him, who's with him? Barnabas and John Mark, right? Those are his first journey. Commissioned by the Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts 13:2, he was called, okay? Just like we're called to go to Mexico, you guys are called different places. You're going to Africa. Others are going different parts here local, but you're called to share the gospel. Well, there's no doubt, right? So in the year 48, Paul's starting his journey, and he's going out to, he's going to meet a family, and one of them is part of Timothy's family. They're in, I have a pointer, don't I? Yeah, they're in Lystra is where, what's his mother's name? Eunice. And his grandma's name is Lois. Two of them that might have heard the gospel through Paul on one of his journeys, but he went through there and he met Timothy's relatives. So he does that, and then he comes back. But this is key, because Timothy comes into play on the next journey. What I like about it is that, I'll read it. It says, but they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding countries while they were being persecuted. And so they went over this other place because the Holy Spirit kind of closed the door. And so they're going to this other place, continue the journey, not discouraged, as we talked about in Sunday school, but encouraged to go somewhere else. God's lead them somewhere else. So they go and they do that, and then they go back to Antioch after that's over. Now, in the second journey, the red line, he goes down to Jerusalem and starts his journey. He's down in Jerusalem, but he goes north through Syria up here. And lo and behold, he comes and he goes back through Lystra where there's Timothy. Timothy was a teenager. He's a young guy. But the people, the pastors, the leaders around the churches in Iconia and Derbe were saying, Timothy is good. What do you say? He's good what? I'm thinking in Spanish. But anyways, he's a good guy. Good. I want to say blood. It's not good blood either. It's good wood. There you go. That's in English. Good wood. Not in Spanish. You wouldn't say that. But you do. Buena madera. All right. You're right. So anyways, forgive me. It's a problem. So he hears this great news about Timothy and he decides now he's with Silas, I believe, on this trip. And they joined him in. They said, let's grab Timothy. Let's take Timothy as a disciple of ours. Let's take him with us. And he's a young guy. So is there a young person in your life? Could be a grandchild. It could be a son. It could be somebody around you saying, oh, this is a Timothy here. This is a young guy that is showing interest in the Lord. Can I mentor this person? Think about that. So he takes him along. And now he goes up to this point here, Troas, and there's a couple of stories, but at one time they said, okay, he's going to go to Macedonia, and says, Timothy, I want you to go down to Ephesus, down here, and I want you to share what they should be doing in these churches. And it was just like, okay, wait a minute, he just started here, but from here to here are a few years of, you know, there's some time there where he was training him on the way, but confident enough that from here he says, you go down to Ephesus and because you're a faithful man. So he continues on his trip and he comes back around and they go through persecution up here. Timothy also shared later on some jail time with Paul or because of his faith at one time. Timothy also was in jail and got persecuted for his faith. But he was a young guy saying, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it with all his heart. He had a heart for God. We'll look at that scripture later. So here goes Paul all the way around, and they come back to Ephesus, maybe with the purpose to say, how you doing, Timothy? Didn't mean to leave you alone, but how you doing? Checking up on him, watching his Timothy grow, and what do you need? How are you doing? What's new in the church? How can I help you? And Paul is checking up on the churches at the same time, saying, you know, do this. This is what they need. But I love it because here's his disciple that he's spending time with. There's the example. Paul wanted to take him. Verse 3 also says he wanted to take him along in the journey. A good wood. Buena madera. So, I've already said that one. So it was written by, in the year 66, I was saying, so here goes from the year 48 all the way to 66. In there, they say Timothy probably spent 12 years with Paul on this journey. It wasn't just, okay, he came in as a teenager, but now he's, you know, a young man here. But it took time, and he spent time. And you mentioned some verses that there are some good things that, in Philippians, they say good things about Timothy. Paul was encouraged of what was going on. He was showing interest. Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. And I'll read on. It says, verse 21, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Now, they mention his father was a Greek. And they don't mention anything much about him. He could have been dead. He could have been gone. But it's a possibility he wasn't even a believer. So here's Paul taking on and being a father figure to Timothy possibly and saying, you're like my son. boy, I think about today's day and today's age, how many kids have no fathers around, and how some of us can be mentors in that sense. A son who has no model in the house, and maybe have an uncle or somebody who's trying to mentor this child, this young man. And there's so many programs out there in Spokane and here, I'm sure, where you can mentor those kind of guys, guys with guys, women with women, who need that example. So many kids that have gone through terrible things in their family. So my question, as we look at the journeys, he had a purpose, and time was spent invested in this Timothy. And so the question is, who is your Timothy? Who are you investing in? Who are we investing in? I have two guys. I love to invest in more, but I have Theo is one who's led him to the Lord probably 12 years ago. No, 10? She's good with numbers. 10 years ago, and now he's there preaching on Sundays, not Saturdays. We're not the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, but no, we have a Christian church. Theo's there preaching. We have, then there's a new guy. A new guy, his name is Julian. Last year he came to know the Lord, and so I have a veteran and I have a new one, and it's just, those are my Timothys, because I could be here, as I was sharing with you guys, Theo's up there and he's preaching because I invested time with him. And you think, okay, if I don't invest time with them, who is? You think about somebody in your neighborhood. If I don't do it, who really is going to go and share the gospel with that person? Maybe there is nobody else. Maybe you're the one that God's calling you, as he called Saul out to by the Holy Spirit to go out and do this. So 2 Timothy shows us it started with, you know, it starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with God. God having an encounter with Saul. Saul, Paul, having an encounter with, who's next? Let's say Timothy. Timothy having an encounter with the people in that church and the people he was leading to the Lord. And eventually gets to us, right? So it's a discipleship chain. It's multiplication. And if we're not multiplying, we have to look at ourselves and say, well, everybody else, or we expect other people to multiply, and I don't have to. But no, the calling is like I think I have on here, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Let's look it up. I don't have it on a slide. This is a command. I don't know if there's suggestions in the Bible. What'd you say, Bill? Is there suggestions in the Bible? I think there's commands, and this is one of them, 28:19. We know it, but this is personally for us, not just for the disciples as Jesus was leaving this earth. 19 says, in a command form, therefore go, that's a command, and make, there's another command, disciples of all the nations. Another command, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, again, them to obey everything I have commanded you. So there's various commands where you say, okay, that wasn't for me, but it is. Or it's not a command, that's a suggestion. No, it's a command. So I look at that and go, okay, this is great missionary verse for us, but again, don't forget that you guys are also missionaries. You're local, and that's okay. That's part of the Great Commission. And so if you were to grab one person for 1 year to disciple, it seems like years go by so quick. Those who, like me, I'm 55, but it's gone so quick. And I go, if I had 30 disciples, one every year, what would this world be? What would this church be? What would our church be? And if we all grabbed one disciple, how big would this church be? Because we're going to dedicate a Timothy into our lives and say, this is where God has put me. He has commissioned me by the Holy Spirit to look for somebody and mentor them. I think we have enough up here. You know, Bill has shared so much. Those who have passed this pulpit up here have shared so much, and I think we have a lot of information up here. But there gets to a point when we have to say, okay, how much is enough? Do I have enough to share the gospel with my neighbor? And I have to admit, at the beginning for me is fear. It is. It's part of. You go, they're going to reject me, or I'm not going to have the words. And that all, it's the Great Commission. It is something that we have to pass on to the next generation. Me sharing with my daughter is part of that. Now she's going to be sharing with other people, and that's just saying, I got to start with my family, and then she's going to go from there. I'm going to do my part, because I would be sad if my daughter says, you never told me about Jesus. I said, but I'm a pastor, I'm a missionary. I don't know who Jesus is. It's like, ooh, I'm sorry. That's my mistake, right? I have a responsibility first in my family. Do that. I challenge you. It's not my command. It's just, it's written in the scriptures what we should do. Can I pray for you guys and pray for me too? Let's pray. God, we're so excited for what you have written for us. It's something we have in our hands. It's the great gospel message from beginning to end. Jesus, you've been there, and you have a great plan. And we know that plan. We've been taught it in Sunday school and in church, and we've heard it since we were babies in the faith. So guide us, Holy Spirit, to that one person who is where you're working, where we see somebody who has got questions, somebody who is obviously a place where you're working and you're touching their lives and you're causing certain circumstances in their life to where we are going to fit into that, and we have the message to continue that growth in their life. So give us the words, give us the boldness to share with all our heart, as Timothy was, with all his heart, he was doing what he was called to do, what he was taught. It was evident that he got the message. Help us too, as it is a struggle. We have an enemy there that discourages us. We have our own issues in life that are distractions, but when it comes down to why are we alive? Why did we come to church today? Why are we sure that we're going to go to heaven? There's so many things that beyond a doubt we know that there's a greater plan. There's heaven. There's eternity to live for. And so give us a heart for the lost. Give us tears for those who are near us that we know are going to go to hell because they don't know you, Jesus. Give us a compassion for them this very day to take the good news to them, because there's so much bad news out there. And we have a gift to give them that is priceless and is eternal. Especially in this season, give us the words, as there's a reason for the season, and it's not Santa Claus. And there's so much more that people are open to hear the gospel in these days than the whole year. Give us the words and direction where we should go so that we can start with a Timothy and continue what you've commanded us to do till you come again, Jesus. Thank you for having patience with us. Forgive us when we're just distracted or we have good excuses. But help me also to continue to do your work in Mexico, because it is for all of us. It is wherever we're at in this world, you're here, Lord. Your ways are way better than ours. So help us to understand how you think, what you're thinking about the next person. How are we supposed to love our neighbors, love our enemies? Help us with those things that are tough. But keep us focused vertically as we go through our days in the job, at school, wherever we go, that we have to have a good vertical relationship with you as we share the gospel, as we live life as your children. Bless his church for all that they do for the various missionaries as they pray and support. Bless them. Multiply their days. May you give them just a great time in their life of where they have family together, opportunities to share. Give them just all that, just bless them in the way you want to. But we're so grateful for them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.